This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
We shall see, Trey, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, February 8th, 2021, the day after the Super Bowl. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half are certainly your responsibility. We have a new Super Bowl champion. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I have to, right at the start, admit that I was wrong. I didn't know why Tom Brady was going to Tampa, and I said, he's not going to win there, so why would you go? Well, he won there, and he won decisively, and he won road games, and he did everything that he had to do, and he looked great, and he won the MVP, and he is a champion. He now has 7 titles on his mantle. Pretty amazing, and the best way to put yesterday's matchup was Tom Brady didn't play like his age, and Patrick Mahomes did. Now, I'm not going to put any of the blame on Patrick Mahomes because a rejiggered offensive line, he was running for his life. There's a next-gen stat that said in all of his dropbacks and all of his scrambles, he actually ran 495 yards. He was consistently under pressure. The Chiefs didn't have any kind of an answer to stop the rush of the Tampa Bay Bucs. Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator of the Bucs, called the great game. And that was the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era that he did not score a touchdown. His team did not score a touchdown. 3 field goals. And, Don, it just felt like it was a game that it was never in doubt. It was never in doubt. Well, and at halftime, we were all texting, and I said, you know, this game's far from over, and you said it's over.
Well, because you just didn't see – Kansas City didn't look right to me. Now, I don't know whether it was what happened with the linebacker coach, obviously Andy Reid's son, and that whole situation that had taken place. I mean, a 5-year-old is fighting for their life back at Kansas City, so you can't tell me that's not something that's going to be on the mind of him and Andy. I mean, this is Andy's son who knows what's going to happen, right? He could end up going to jail. And when you look at controversies in the history of the NFL, Dan Grasso and I were talking about it, and he brought up a great point, whether you go back into the history of all those during-the-week controversies that happened with Cincinnati, with Atlanta. It always seems to affect you, right? I mean, because that's got to be on their minds. But I don't want to take anything away from Tampa. They played a brilliant game. But you look early in that game, you know, Mahomes is missing wide-open players. There's dropped passes. The penalties killed them. I thought the turning point in the game is they get the big stop on 4th and goal, and they get a first down. And then on 3rd down, Kelce, who's as reliable as any tight end in the NFL, drops a 3rd down pass that would have given him a 1st down outside the 30-yard line. They're driving what could be the go-ahead score, and they never gained any traction. They couldn't get anything going. They couldn't protect. Where are the adjustments from Kansas City? You wonder why Eric Bieniemy doesn't have a job. Is that maybe because they made no adjustments to find any way to max protect for their quarterback? I understand that you've got problems with the offensive line, but you've got to come up with some creative ways to buy a little bit of extra time for your quarterback. But I didn't see any adjustments. I saw a team that had their heart ripped out from them by this Tampa Bay defense, and they didn't have an answer whatsoever.
Yeah, I was just so happy for Todd Bowles. I mean, what a job that defense did. The entire game, it just never looked easy in any way. Now, you could say, okay, well, Kansas City's down tackles, so this is obviously going to be a compromise. Their starters are out. This is going to be a compromised line. Okay, but that doesn't mean that you're going to see it taken advantage of perfectly, and that's what they did. Don, we kept talking about how Jack Del Rio in that wild card game just did not dial up the right defenses. Everything Todd Bowles did seemed to work, and the result was just a miserable effort. And then the one part that stands out to me is Patrick Mahomes, in spite of it all, somehow, with just pure heart, managed to create opportunities for his team, and they constantly dropped the ball all day long. How many? I think I saw two or three balls that hit Chiefs players in the head. So he just got no help whatsoever. And, you know, I mean, Tampa Bay's offense wasn't special. Tom Brady only threw for 200 yards, three touchdowns. But we mentioned it the other day. The players that are on this team because of Tom Brady, Fournette, Gronkowski, and Brown, that was the reason they won the Super Bowl.
I thought Fournette was really important because they were able to establish the run where he was getting huge chunks of yardage, and that allowed them to have the run-pass option. I mean, obviously you could play act. You get a play action off the run because they could not just sit back and play for Brady to throw the ball, and that's what he loves. So Fournette, I thought, was gigantic. Here's the thing I don't understand what Kansas City did, and this is a complete opposite of the way they played them when they played them earlier in the season. Todd Bowles made the decision, I'm going to play my safeties deep. They're not beating us deep. They could throw underneath, and they refused to throw underneath. They're used to scoring in a hurry and in bunches. I think that there was the potential there for 9 and 10 play drives, and they never took it. They kept looking for the big blow, and it wasn't there. They took it away. There was no big blow. And the fact that he didn't have to blitz, that his front four was stout enough to continue to put pressure on Mahomes, didn't have to blitz. Everything fell perfectly for Bowles. He did an unbelievable job. And just an aside, you know, we talk about this a lot. They shouldn't allow teams to interview for new head coaches until after the Super Bowl. Can you imagine the value of Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles right now? Now, obviously, Bieniemy, who didn't get a job, his value would be low. But that should be something that's implemented across the NFL to give these guys a chance. If they're going to excel on the greatest stage, then they should have a chance to get a job.
Yeah, I don't think that could be underscored. You know, this is going to be Tom Brady's victory, and deservedly so. He's got 7 championships, and it's just amazing he's able to go to Tampa and they win the Super Bowl when I don't think anybody had them pegged to be a Super Bowl champion. A better team, certainly, but not a Super Bowl champion. But this defense held Kansas City. This is one of the great offenses of all time. One of the great quarterbacks of all time. One of only 3 quarterbacks to throw 50 touchdown passes. And they didn't score a touchdown. Think about that. What were the odds going into the game of Kansas City not scoring a touchdown, Peter?
I can't even speculate how bad the odds would have been against that.
I mean, you'd be a fool to make the bet.
It's the first time that Patrick Mahomes has had a double-digit loss since he was at Texas Tech.
Right.
So they did. They completely shut down a great offense. You know, we had them going to, you know, multiple Super Bowls and possibly Patrick Mahomes catching Tom Brady. You know, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. Remember, before they won last year, Andy Reid was the guy who couldn't win the big games. And if you remember last year's game, a lot of us forgot it. They didn't start off great. Patrick Mahomes didn't look great right away and then picked it up afterward, but he didn't look great right away. And this yesterday, he didn't look good at all, although I don't blame him. I don't blame him. There was one play that he was running for his life and then was actually his body was parallel to the ground, and he threw a perfect pass that bounced off the helmet of somebody. So I don't think it was him. I just think nobody played well.
Nobody.
Edwards-Helaire did a good job, but then they went away from him. He'd have like 3 runs in a row where they'd get a first down, and then they just forgot about him. They had no patience whatsoever.
Hey, listen, they are a team. I think you hit it, Michael. This is a big play team. And when the big play's taken away, they didn't have an answer. And listen, they're an exceptionally talented team, right? They won a Super Bowl last year, and they were a game away from doing it again. First team to win back-to-back Super Bowls in, you know, a decade and a half. But the lack of adjustments to me blow me away. Now, maybe it wouldn't have worked out anyway. Maybe Tampa would have then countered and came up with something, but I'm sorry.
But you got to play chess, Don. They didn't make them play chess.
This is what we do. It gets stopped, and they don't have an answer. Now, what they do works 9 times out of 10. What they do works all the time. But when it doesn't work, I'm sorry, you got to come up with something else. You just have to. So they did a great job of taking Hill out of the game because he was so masterful the last time the two teams played. And then now he's taken out. Where's the adjustment, like I said? Where is the short passes to try to find a way to counteract the rush, dump it off, take the middle of the field, which was wide open because they were taking the downfield passes away. Where was that? You started to see it a little bit later in the game when it was already decided, but where was it when the game was still meaningful? How do you come up with some kind of protection, some way to max protect so that you can give Mahomes a little bit of time? A little bit, nothing. It was as if they got caught completely with their pants down. This is the way we win football games. It was taken away from them, and there was zero adjustment. Zero. Even now, coming out of the half, I'm like, all right, they're going to put together a drive here. And they did, but they settled for three instead of getting a touchdown. And then that was it. I'm just blown away by it. What a terrific job by Tampa to come up the way they did defensively. And it's a shame you can't give the MVP to the defense because that's what won the game. I'm not taking anything away from Brady. He threw three touchdown passes, okay? He was good. But all that was set up by the fact that you took a machine offensively and took him off the field. That, to me, is what won that football game.
I don't think there's any amount of love that should be taken away from Brady, though, because there are certain players that I think change the way a team thinks, and that's exactly what Brady did. He just brings a professionalism to an organization. He did have an outstanding game yesterday. He did everything that he had to do, and I think we take it for granted. Well, that's Tom Brady. Everybody gets sick of Tom Brady because all he does is win. That's Tom Brady at the age of 43 playing a perfect game for a quarterback. Didn't have to throw for 350 yards. Did what he had to do. Hit Gronk for two touchdowns. Hit Antonio Brown for a touchdown. Those are people that he brought in. So I think he deserves a lion's share of the credit. He was spending every night this week, it was revealed. Leonard Fournette told the story. At 11 o'clock each night, he was texting all of his teammates, "We will," WI, capital L, capital L, "we will win this game." That's what he's about. He brings a mindset to an organization. I think he's phenomenal. As we said in the soft open, though, just be careful, everybody. He has seven championships, so everybody's calling him the GOAT. He's better than Michael Jordan because Jordan has six. Well, just pump the brakes for one thing. If we're going to do the cross sport thing, well, then you can't forget Bill Russell. He has 11. You can't forget Yogi Berra. He has 10. You can't forget Rocket Richard, right? He has 11 Stanley Cups. You can't forget these people. They won those championships. And Bill Russell also won an Olympic title and also won an NCAA title. So he's the greatest winner of all time. So please, you can give as much love as you want to Tom Brady, and he deserves it. He's probably the greatest football player in the history of the NFL. I get it. But don't say he's the greatest winner of all time and just forget everybody that came before him. Forget Serena Williams. Forget Tiger Woods. Forget all of them. Sorry, I'm not going to forget them. We are prisoners of the moment, everybody. And the moment right now is that Tom Brady is phenomenal. I'm willing to embrace that. But I'm not willing to say he's the greatest winner of all time because there have been great winners before.
No, absolutely. But there is something in common with a lot of the guys that you mentioned there. And they all came, you know, a long time ago in the 50s and 60s where there were less teams and there were less rounds to have to win. And I'm going to keep it to the four major sports because it's just easier because I think it's apples and oranges to compare it to, you know, tennis players or NASCAR drivers or golfers because they're completely in control of their own destiny. But we're talking about a modern athlete in a sport. Part of the appeal of the NFL is that every team goes to training camp thinking this could be their year. This sport, the first to really use the hard cap to take away dynasties. This is not supposed to be happening. It's supposed to be somebody new every single year. And for 20 years, it seems like every other Super Bowl, it's Tom Brady as the guy that's playing in it. You know, in the last 20 years, he's played in 10 of them, won 7 of them. You know, it's not supposed to happen in this day and age in the NFL. Back in the day, it's just interesting that in hockey and in football and baseball, teams won championships all the time, multiple championships, dynasties. Most of the dynasties came in the 50s and 60s before there was a draft, before there was free agency, before there was a salary cap. But for him to do that in the NFL when they've designed it for it not to happen, and now to do it on a different team, in a different conference, and on top of that, at the age of 43, listen, I'm sick of Brady too, and I've got Brady fatigue, but what he's I think what he's doing right now is more impressive than Berra, and more impressive than Russell, and more impressive than the Richards.
because this is not supposed to happen.
No, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. I mean, we're lucky that in our lifetimes we've been able to be right in the middle of Jordan and be right in the middle of Brady. So we could tell our grandkids, or in Don, in my case, tell our kids that we actually were alive to see this. I mean, this is pretty special stuff. This is really special stuff. Now, an aside, the NFL amazes me. So all week there were forecasts that there was going to be rain. It was. It was perfect weather. Perfect. Because that's the NFL. You look at hockey, right? So how many games are they playing? 56?
56.
You look at basketball, 72. Last year, you look at baseball, they played 60. The NFL played this season in the heart of when the pandemic was the worst. January is the worst month of all time, of this whole year. They didn't miss a game. They didn't miss a game. They played every single game. They played their Super Bowl on time, period. So you could say whether it was right or wrong, there could be numbers that come out later about super spreader events that happened in Tampa. But the bottom line is they somehow always get it done. When the other sports get taken to their knees, the NFL just plows right through. We're playing every game. We're playing every Sunday, Thursday, Monday. If we have to postpone, we'll play a Tuesday or a Wednesday. We're doing it. Baseball, you could play your 60 games. NBA, you could shorten your season to 72 games. Hockey, you could shorten your season to 56. We're playing every single game, and no virus is stopping us. I'm amazed by the NFL. Amazed. Either it's arrogance or this insane luck that they have, but they don't skip a beat no matter what. And that stadium looked like it had a lot more than 20,000 people in it. I know they had those cutouts, which certainly filled in the space, but there were a lot of people in that stadium.
Well, the real test to see how successful this whole thing was, of course, will be when we watch the numbers over the next few weeks.
Right.
And what comes from it. Because beyond the actual game itself, it looked like there were parties going on. It just looked like Tampa was fully open for a regular Super Bowl week. So I think it is arrogance, Michael. I mean, they spent half the game last night congratulating the NFL on how amazing it was that they did it. And good for them. But a certain part of that is because of a lack of care. I mean, you can give credit if you want, but also they just said, screw it. Come hell or high water, we're right. Not sacrificing.
We're going to play it. You know, and listen, you also had a game in which a team didn't have quarterback, right?
Right.
You had some teams were really shorthanded. Like the Ravens had to play a game on a short week with like basically half their roster not being able to play. So, hey, listen, all these sports have made a commitment to continue to play. So, I don't know how much of a reward or how we need to genuflect to these sports when they made a commitment that we're going to fight through it. You know, right now the Devils have 17 players in protocol, and they're hoping that eventually they get back on the ice on Thursday. The Minnesota Wild have 9 players, not in protocol, 9 players infected by the virus that tested positive, you know, and they're going to wait it out, and then they're going to continue to play. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals went, 2.5 weeks without playing a baseball game? If you commit yourself to finish, you'll finish. So I'm not really sure anybody should genuflect to any of these commissions.
But my point is the other sports conceded their full seasons. The NFL wouldn't concede.
Well, there were circumstances, Michael. We've admitted that baseball could have played more than 60. They just couldn't agree financially to a longer schedule. The NBA and the NHL, because they waited so long to get their hubs and their bubbles together, ended up going too deep in the summer for them to be able to turn it around. They had to make adjustments to their schedules, otherwise they'll affect next season too. The NFL, we even admitted at the time, was in a perfect situation to be able to start themselves on time and be able to play their games as long as they were willing to fight through some major infections and some major issues, and they were. So again, good job out of Bettman, good job out of Silver, you know, good job out of Manfred. I'm not sure why we have to genuflect to Roger Goodell for doing what I think all the other sports were able to accomplish as well.
Now, in terms of championships that were won, I said Rocket, it's Henri Richard.
Yeah, Henri Richard. 11.
So Russell and Richard had 11. Barra had 10. Sam Jones of the Celtics had 10. Cornway of the Canadiens had 10. Béliveau of the Canadiens had 10. DiMaggio, 9. Claude Provost of the Canadiens, 9. Havlicek, 8. Casey Jones, 8. Tom Heinsohn, 8. Tom Sanders, 8. Maurice Richard, 8. Red Kelly of the Red Wings and the Maple Leafs, 8. Jacques Lemaire, 8. Savard, Serge Savard of the Canadiens, 8. Bill Dickey, 8. Phil Rizzuto, 8. Tom Brady, 7. Otto Graham, 7. Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, Robert Horry, 7. Jim Loskutuff of the Celtics, 7. Frank Ramsey of the Celtics, and Jean-Guy Talbot of the Canadiens, 7. So those are the top ones.
So that tells me something, that every single player you mentioned, Brady is the only modern-day athlete.
Yeah. Yep.
Because of all the players, I think Jacques Lemaire played his last game in 79. So we're talking all of them have been out of the sport for at least 40 years.
Not Robert Horry.
Well, how many does Horry have?
I think he has seven.
Yeah.
Seven.
But
he
no
was a bit, not
Horry.
A bit player. But
Robert Horry was
the
a
player.
Role player on every team right. He was ever on. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, he was,
Yeah, no, he's a role player. A really good one.
Right.
A pivotal role player, but a role player.
And one of our listeners, don't forget Michael Phelps. You know, greatest, most decorated Olympian ever. Tiger. Serena. I mean, they've been great champions, but
Floyd
but
Mayweather.
In a team sport, as Don said, football is designed that this doesn't happen. And it's happening with this guy. Hmm.
But you could also break it down. Listen, I'm praising Brady, and rightly so, that he's pretty much the only modern-day athlete of the superstars that are on that list. But, you know, when you talk about an effect on the game, I mean, again, I'm loath to just celebrate Brady winning that championship yesterday. So many other things happened. I mean, his defense balled out. You know, Peter, if you can give an entire unit an MVP, it's the defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that won that game, as far as I'm concerned. You know, so there's a lot of help that you need. Now, basketball players are different. Because, Michael, how many minutes do you think Russell averaged?
Probably played every minute.
Yeah, but he might have played over 40, right?
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, and I think, like, LeBron James, he's playing offense, he's playing defense, he's playing 40 minutes of a 48-minute game. You know, so there's a lot that goes into it, but it's just amazing to me is all the great quarterbacks that we've seen. We've seen so many great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. None of them come close to winning as often as this guy won. And then for him to be able to do it away from the New England Patriots, away from Bill Belichick, because listen, I think Bruce Arians is so underrated, right? Two, he won Coach of the Year in Indianapolis, Coach of the Year in Arizona. Now he's got a Super Bowl in Tampa. He's not Bill Belichick. Right? And for Brady to go to Tampa and win a title, it's so unique. It's so really amazing that's something that we're going to be telling our kids and that our listeners will be telling their grandkids that they got a chance to see this.
I bet you love this stat, Peter. One of the highest rated local markets in the country. What do you think it was?
One of the highest rated local markets outside of those two markets?
Like Kansas City, I think, was the highest, and this was even higher than the Tampa area.
Oh, Boston.
Yeah, Boston. Just to see what got away.
And by the way, when Gronk scores those first two touchdowns, can you imagine what they were thinking? Now, here's a question that I think I'm the only one who's interested in. When they get back down in the red zone again, if Gronk scores a third touchdown, you think he gets MVP?
I still think it's going to be Brady because they'll say, well, Brady threw him all three of those balls. So, I mean, I thought Gronk was really important because they took away the other tight end, but Gronk, who didn't have a
great season.
He was
their number one receiver.
Right.
I'm wondering how close Gronk came to winning it because in the Disney thing, they did it together.
They did it together, 67 yards, two touchdowns, not to mention that first down, another first down late in the game that was big. You know, I talked about that last week, like how big Gronk could be in this game. And there was, and I can't remember if it was Don or one of our guests sort of doubted it because Gronk hasn't been that guy. But there's something about the way he eats his Wheaties on playoff days. Gronk is just a different dude in these days.
And how about JPP, right? He's never lost a playoff game. Isn't that crazy?
I think
it was 7-0 now, or 8-0? 8-0 because he won the 4 with the Giants and now 4 with the Buccaneers. Never lost a playoff game.
Not to mention, you talk about the 30 for 30 of what his life has been after the accident.
Yeah, see the interview? Like he not only the accident, Peter. So he talked about blowing the fingers of his hand off with the fireworks. He said, "Well, you know, I'll come back from this." He broke his neck. He said that was tough. The guy blew off fingers on his hand and broke his neck in a car accident and still came back and is playing at a high level.
Listen, it didn't go my way with the picks, but I'm so happy for so many people with Tampa. Forget about Gronk and forget about Brady, because, again, I get the Patriot fatigue. I get all that. I'm so happy for Arians. Forget about the fact that Peter and I met him and he was such a nice guy. He's such a football lifer. His mom's there at the age of 95. I mean, how cool was that? Well, Todd Bowles, for all of his faults as the head coach of the Jets, Michael, he was always a great guy. I was so happy for him. I'm glad that he's getting this acknowledgement. JPP is a Giant fan. How can you not be happy for him? You know, and it keeps the whole thing alive that only, you know, only the Giants and Eagles have been able to beat Brady. I mean, there's a lot of good things that came from watching Tampa win that game last night.
This portion of the Mike K Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Two by London. The engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. We'll take a brief time out. We'll take your phone calls on an amazing accomplishment, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl title yesterday over the Kansas City Chiefs. Can't say it's a huge upset because the line was only 3, but I think most people went in thinking that the Chiefs were going to win, and they end up losing. Yep. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. This was well documented. Tyrann Mathieu and the Honey Badger and Tom Brady barking at each other, and then the big lead writes, well, ESPN's Jenna Lane reports that Brady apologized to Mathieu for losing his composure in the moment of the game, of which Mathieu said, I've never really seen that side of him. There was a picture of a stoic Brady leaning into his locker post-game before people were popping bottles. He needed to mend fences. He texted the Honey Badger to say he was sorry. So I wonder what that was all about. Because even the Honey Badger said, he had posted something, said he said something really bad. I'm not going to say what it was, but I was really surprised. And then he took that tweet down.
Yeah, maybe after he got the apology.
Yeah. Brady loses his cool a lot like that. I mean, he's really locked in. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira.
Hey, what's happening, Michael? How are you?
I'm good.
You know,
how you doing?
You're both good. Good. You're both right. I think defensively, I think I'm really happy for Bowles and Casey Rogers. They did a great job. They totally outcoached Andy Reid, and it's amazing that he, like Don mentioned, he didn't make any adjustments. He gave him all the underneath stuff. He didn't take it. And you know what? You're right about Brady. Brady made one throw. Peter, listen, the touchdown to Brown on that slant.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not too many quarterbacks in the NFL today that can make that throw. It's amazing. But quick story with Sam Jones. You were talking about Bill Russell. I bumped into Sam Jones outside the Garden years ago, and I was amazed because I said to him, I said, how in the world did you guys win all those championships year after year? And you know what his answer was to me? He said, because if we didn't win, I couldn't take my family on a summer vacation.
Yep, that's how they made their money.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. You guys know this. I'm glad you brought that up, Ira. I've said this before on the show, but it bears repeating because it's been a few years. Sam Jones was a substitute teacher of mine in high school.
Really?
I never heard you say that.
Yeah, Sam Jones showed us his championship ring when he was a substitute teacher.
That's why he was sad, Sam Jones.
Yeah, he was a regular working man. It was pretty incredible.
That's you never told that story.
Yeah.
You know, I've been talking about recency bias, and somebody called me out on it. I keep saying Tiger Woods. I guess I should say Jack Nicklaus, too.
Yep.
We're going to talk about recency bias. He won more than Tiger. So
he
I
did.
Apologize, and that listener is correct. Let's go to Tessa in West Caldwell. Tessa.
Hey guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I might seem a little salty. I'm not. You know what I mean? When it comes down to it, you know, the Giants beat him twice, so that's not my point. The point is that when you do comparisons, of course, that's what this is all about. It's about sports. But I always find it mind-boggling how we compare an individual sport to a team sport. Like Serena, she won all those titles by herself. You know what I mean? Golf. They win that by themselves. Like Don said, I mean, the defense and that O-line, if that O-line was collapsing like how KC's patched O-line was, I mean, we would be talking about a different game here. And you're right. I feel like they're just handing it to Tom. I mean, you know how I feel. I said this about Hank Aaron a couple of weeks ago with the Barry Bonds thing. I don't like giving people the greatest anything when you're attached to any type of cheating controversy. We all know those couple of Super Bowls with the cheating, the taping, like that bothers me. We know he's a great. This was an amazing game. I mean, this was great for him. You know what I mean? He did this. He went to another team and won. I mean, Peyton did it too, but, you know, Peyton's nothing compared to all of Tom Brady's winning, but I just don't like that. Like, I don't like that people don't put an asterisk next to his name. We know what he can do. We know what he's done. However, all those two Super Bowls was on his kicker's leg. I mean, it's just at the end of the day, I just feel like what Don said, like, we can't just make it seem like this is a one-man show because it's not. And I don't think that it's fair to compare it to other, like, decades and other sports, especially when an individual, like, even with baseball, like, if a hitter's, like, one of the greatest home run hitters, he did that. He hit that ball off of that pitcher. That didn't really have nothing to do with his team. But with Tom Brady, that was a team win yesterday. Defense wins championships, and that's what won it in that clean O-line. So that's the only thing that I don't like when it comes to Tom Brady. It's not that I don't like the guy. You know what I mean? I didn't have a dog in a fight yesterday. You know what I mean? But I just don't like that, oh, 7 rings, best ever, best da da da. But wait, where's the asterisk at? Like, he had a lot of cheating over in New England. You know what I mean? His name was with that. I'm not saying he did it, but his name was definitely embroiled in that.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, though, Tessa.
A little bit.
It's a little unusual, don't you think, that championships follow the guy around? Has there been any indication of cheating with the Bucs? No.
No, but I think her point is, and this isn't anybody's fault necessarily, it's just the way that it is, that in football, it's on his resume, but nobody seems to care. But in baseball, those PEDs will follow you to your grave as if you're some sort of criminal.
No, I understand it, and I'm not an apologist for Tom Brady. He deflated footballs in a sport that allows you to manipulate the footballs whichever way you want. He took too much air out of it.
Right. No,
I mean, it's not like the Brinks heist.
No, but it isn't. We've had this conversation before, Michael. Is that in football and in really every other sport but baseball? It's gamesmanship. It's no big deal for Belichick too. Spygate is when we exalt how great Bill Belichick is. You know, Spygate happened, and this those things happen. But still, he's the greatest coach ever. You know, but in baseball, you take a PED unless you're Big Poppy. Not only you dubbed a cheater, you get banned from the Hall of Fame, and you're a piece of garbage for the rest of your life. There is hypocrisy in that.
Yeah, and like people are upset that AJ Hinch and Alex Cora got jobs again. It's unbelievable. I've said it over and over. You have too. Baseball's looked at as church, and everything else is looked at as, you know, competition and sport. You know, so whatever goes. Before we take a break, I'd like to talk about the passing of a friend, Pedro Gomez. I found out about it toward the end of the Super Bowl, and I was in a daze after that. Jody kept asking me, what's wrong? Pedro Gomez was such a good guy. I mean, just such a good guy. If you're reading Twitter over the last 20 hours, maybe 10 hours, whatever, all you're seeing is an outpouring of love for this 58-year-old man that passed away suddenly. 3 children, a son, Rio, is a pitcher in the Red Sox organization. He was so proud of Rio. But we had a great relationship. If somebody wrote something about me that wasn't positive, you know, Pedro lives in Arizona. He would text out, how you doing? Don't listen to anybody. You're great. You know, just, and I said, wow, he's a really good friend. And now you find out that he was like that with everybody. There was one great story that was relayed on Twitter yesterday that I'd like to repeat because it's just so different. Howard Bryant, who worked for ESPN, started out in the Bay Area where Pedro started out as a writer, and he was filling in for somebody for one of the Bay Area papers covering the A's. And young kid, he was 24 years old at the time, Howard. And Pedro really didn't know him other than that, well, he was filling in for this longtime beat writer of the Oakland A's just for a couple of days. And Dennis Eckersley gave up a 2-run home run. He came into the game 1-1 in the ninth inning, gave up a two-run home run. So Howard Bryant wrote, Dennis Eckersley ended up losing the game, giving up a two-run home run. But the people that put the headline together said Eckersley blows another game. And Tony La Russa the next day is ranting and raving with all the writers there. Can you believe the garbage I have to put up with? He said, blew a save. He didn't blow a save. It wasn't even a save. It was a tie game. It wasn't a save. Who's this Howard Bryant? So Howard Bryant raised his hand sheepishly, said, it's me. He goes, Howard Bryant. Can you believe this? Blew a save. Blew a, and he's like killing Howard Bryant, a kid that's been there 2 days. 2 days. And Pedro Martinez, who didn't know Howard Bryant from a hole in the wall.
Pedro Gomez, yeah.
Pedro Gomez says, out of the blue, hey, Tony, why don't you lighten up? You know we don't write the headlines. Why are you trying to embarrass the kid? You're making a jerk out of yourself. Just stop. Stop La Russa in his tracks. Defending a guy he didn't really even know that well, but knew that what La Russa was doing was wrong and stood up for him. That's who Pedro Gomez was. Pedro Gomez, everybody liked him. I thought Joel Sherman said something so telling on MLB Network today. When you're in the baseball business, Don and Peter, there's a lot of hours at the ballpark that you stand around, you're waiting, and there are people that are walking toward you, and as they're walking toward you, oh, I don't want to talk to this person. You know, everybody has those people. Pedro Gomez was one of those guys that if he's walking toward you, you go, I wish he stops and talks with me. He was just such a good guy.
Yeah.
And I can't believe 58 years old out of nowhere. I mean, just his family robbed of having him. The people that love baseball, ESPN, robbed of having him. Pedro robbed of all these years of his life that he should have had. It's just heartbreaking, man. They come one after the other these days, and that just knocked me for a loop. It really did. What a good guy. I mean, just what a good guy. If your legacy, everybody thinks about legacy in the world and sports and you know, what's my legacy in life? If your legacy is that the day that you pass from this earth, everybody says what a wonderful person you were and how you went out of your way to be a good person and you never went out of your way to be a bad person, man, that's a hell of a legacy.
Yeah. Great guy. I didn't know him well, but whenever he came on, he'd always come on whenever there was a story with Bonds and PEDs or different things in Arizona that were going on. It'd been a while since we talked to him on the show, but whenever he came on, he was always a lot of fun.
He also
great
just,
stories.
He also, I only know him from TV. He also just oozed good guy all
oh,
the
Peter,
time.
Peter, he was. He was such a good guy. Always a smile on his face. It hit me right between the eyes. I just sat there and slumped in my chair. I let out this groan, and Jody said, what happened? And I told her, I mean, you just don't expect to. You know, he checked in with people all the time, texted people. And he had like friendly nickname. He always remembered something that happened between the two. It's just awful. Just awful. And his three kids and his wife. Terrible. Terrible. Just awful. So rest in peace, my friend. Rest in peace. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I don't think there's any amount of love that should be taken away from Brady, though. Just be careful, everybody. He has 7 championships, so everybody's calling him the GOAT. He's better than Michael Jordan, because Jordan has 6. Well, if we're going to do the cross-sport thing, you can't forget Bill Russell. He has 11. You can't forget Yogi Berra. He has 10. You can't forget Rocket Richard. He has 11 Stanley Cups. And Bill Russell also won an Olympic title, and also won an NCAA title. Don't say he's the greatest winner of all time, and just forget everybody that team before him. Forget Serena Williams. Forget Tiger Woods. Forget all of them. Sorry, I'm not going to forget them. We are prisoners of the moment, everybody. And the moment right now is that Tom Brady is phenomenal. I'm willing to embrace that, but I'm not willing to say he's the greatest winner of all time because there have been great winners before.
The Michael K. Show.
Pete, if I ever win $100 million, I'm going to pay you $4 million to get a total body wax.
On 98.7 ESPN.
And just a correction, it was Henri, not Rocket, that had the 11 Stanley Cups.
Which
but the family had a lot, right?
Yeah, but what's funny, because it would have 19 between the two of them. But what's interesting is that Henri was the, I think he was 16 years younger than his brother. He was like way younger than Maurice. So they played like 4 or 5 years together at the end of Rocket's career. And he was known as the Pocket Rocket. Maurice was way better a player than Henri. And he had more championships. So there's circumstances. There's a lot of things that go into just being at the right place at the right time and what era you play in. So there's a lot that goes into just putting a number next to it. Because I think when you look at it in different contexts, what Brady has done is unbelievable. But at the same time, is it possible Bill Russell maybe had more of an effect on a Celtic game than Brady had on a Patriot or Buccaneer game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That makes it fascinating, right? That makes it a fun conversation because you go either way with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, because we're living now in 2021, it's just open and shut. Well, Brady's the greatest. He passed Jordan. Well, no. It's open for discussion, everybody. There are the great winners in team sports. When I stand next to Aaron Judge, right, I'm 6'4". I look tiny next to him. He's like 6'7", 6'8". There was a picture. They were at the game yesterday in the same box that Judge was standing next to Shaquille O'Neal. Did you see this, Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Man, looked like a child. Shaq made Aaron Judge look like a child.
Oh, that's funny. That's not what my take was.
What'd you take?
My take was, oh, my God, I can't believe Aaron Judge is that big that he's not even that much smaller than Shaq.
Well, I mean, Shaq is what, 7'3"?
7'1", something like that.
All right, so he's at least 5 or 6 inches shorter than Shaq.
Yeah. I'm sure Shaq has got, what,
100 pounds on Aaron? There are not a lot of people that Aaron Judge looks up to. Although when you look at that box, though, you know, the luxury box, it wasn't I don't want to be that guy. There wasn't a match to be seen.
No. Be that guy.
No, I don't want to be, because you know what? Then you become that guy, and it doesn't matter. People are going to do what they want to do. I've given up. I'm a hermit in my house waiting for a vaccine. That's all there is to it. People are going to do what they're going to do. I'm sure people had Super Bowl parties yesterday. Didn't you say, Donna, you saw somewhere that 50 Cent had a huge party?
Yeah, I guess he rented an airplane hangar and had like hundreds of people in there, no social distancing, no masks, and he's in trouble. Like, he's going to get a serious fine, and they may seek to punish him even further than that. I mean, again, do what you want to do, but like in the state of Florida alone, they're going to keep this thing going a couple of months more than it should. I mean, the celebration after the Buccaneers won, nobody's saying you can't get together, but can you throw a mask on?
Well, again, I found that to be the most disappointing thing from Brady. He just refuses to be seen wearing a mask.
When he walked off the bus with the team, everybody on the team had a mask but him. But then they showed him later on CBS, and he was wearing a mask as he's walking through the portals of Raymond James. So, I don't know.
He avoids it.
I'm not going to be that scold. The world is the way it is for some reason.
Well, listen, I believe everyone can do the things they need to do. I have no problem with them playing the game. But, like, I just don't understand why you have to make such an effort to not be seen with a mask when you're such an influential person. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a little odd. 1-800-919-3776. A couple of other stories happening in sports that we want to touch on. The Knicks have reacquired Derrick Rose. And, I mean, they didn't give up much for him. They gave up Dennis Smith Jr., who they were going to put in their, G League anyway. He had no future with the Knicks, and they gave up a second-round pick in the upcoming draft, which is supposed to be a deep draft, but okay. Thibodeau and Rose have a great relationship, and Rose had his MVP season when Tibbs was the coach with the Bulls. The only way that this doesn't work out to me is if you're taking away minutes from Emmanuel Quickley. I don't know. I mean, maybe this allows Thibodeau to start quickly, move Elfrid Payton to the back of the line, although Payton's played okay. Let Derrick Rose be the person that comes off the bench for quickly. But I know the Knicks are trying to win, and I think it's important to try to get into the playoffs to change the perception of the team as lose, lose, lose. But you can't get Derrick Rose from the Pistons, and he's averaging 14.2 points per game. You can't get him if you're going to cost yourself minutes of making Emmanuel quickly into what he can be. That's the only way that this could go sideways. I think the Knicks are too smart. I think Thibodeau's too smart to sacrifice a year of making Emmanuel quickly into what you think he could be just so you could be the eighth seed in the playoffs. I hope that this is not the case.
Well, not even the eighth seed, because you might get into one of those like play-in situations, which I'm sure they want, you know, to get there. So what is that, like top 10, Peter, something where they can kind of sneak
in? I think
it's
7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, so I think they got an excellent chance to do that. Listen, we've said from the very beginning, this team needs a leader. This team needs a veteran presence. I think they're smart enough to know that they don't want to stunt the growth of a really good young player. But this team just looks like this is exactly what they need. Because you still want to win games. I still think you want to try to sneak into the playoffs.
Well, and you saw yesterday, you know, late in that game as it was slipping away from them, they just didn't really have anyone to have the ball in their hands late. I mean, Julius Randle ends up forcing it and getting the ball at the perimeter, trying to get to the hole. It's just they need an experienced player who can have the ball in his hand late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the top 10 in the conference. Right now they're 8.
I think, you know, they won their 11th game last year when they had close to 30 losses. So he's done a great job. Randall's done a great job. Quickly off the bench has done a really good job. They're still waiting for Obi Toppin. So it's been fun. It's been fun. They beat Portland.
Yeah.
They out-hustled them. They wanted it more. And I hate that phrase, but Portland didn't seem like they were ready for the fight. And they played a pretty decent game. We're in it till the end against Miami. So they're playing tough, and they have a chance to make the playoffs.
Hero hit that shot. That ended it.
That's a big deal.
Right, that hero shot ended it. Like that, they were right there, and then you know one of the best young players in the game hits the three and ends it for him. But otherwise, I thought they played very competitive yesterday.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Ellen in East Northport.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. I want you guys to know that I watch you every day on TV.
Thank you.
And I even met you in 2016 at the PC Richards in Belmore.
Okay.
I remember that.
Okay.
That was fun that day.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Isn't that
where
you
dove headfirst into the linoleum, if I remember correctly.
Isn't that where you did the lineup and ran around the desk, Don?
Yeah, and then I dove headfirst.
Yeah. Yep.
Good times.
All right. I'm a little nervous, but not too much. Okay. This is the first time I've ever called in all these years. I feel like nobody has brought this up today, and it's been really bugging me that why no one has brought up the emotional impact on the coach and maybe even the team of the Chiefs because of what happened to Andy Wyatt and son.
I think that's a, you know, there was an article about it today, sort of the missed opportunities by the broadcasters last night. They spent, like, no time on it. I mean, it was like they wanted to cover it up. I mean, this is, you know, Andy Reid has already had a really tough life. He lost another son, and now he's got a son who is responsible, it seems, for a 5-year-old being in the hospital fighting for the child's life. They believe that the son was impaired. I mean, it's a really bad circumstance, and guys, how could that not have affected the team emotionally if it affects the head coach?
This is very complicated, and it's so complicated that when I give my take, it's going to seem insensitive.
All right.
If you talk about how that might have affected Kansas City, then you're taking away from Tampa Bay that they just beat them soundly. That's number one. Number two, it's being reported that Andy Reid's son had 2 or 3 drinks when this happened. Now, they don't know if he was impaired or not, but he had 2 or 3 drinks. So are we supposed to feel sorry for the Reed family because this guy, he had 2 or 3 drinks and the girls in the ICU, I'm sorry, if Andy Reed and the team are adversely affected, they're not as adversely affected as that little girl and her mother who's sitting at the bedside. I can't sit here and pour my emotions to the Reed family when the Reed family caused this terrible thing to happen.
Wait a minute. No, I don't think anybody is asking for you to be sympathetic to his son. If he had 2-3 drinks, apparently he's got a history of DUIs. Right now, all of the sympathy, all of the emotion, all thought has to go to that family and that 5-year-old that's fighting for its life. That's obvious, all right?
Right.
But you don't think from Andy Reid's standpoint, Andy Reid wasn't behind the wheel.
Right.
You know, so he's going to coach a game. I could understand it if he's not 100% all in, when there's a very good possibility that when they return home to Kansas City, his son's going
to
be under arrest
and
charged with manslaughter.
And not
so
to mention,
I don't feel bad, Peter, but I'm saying that you can't tell me that that might not have an emotional effect on Andy Reid and the team.
You've been around athletes your whole life, Don. Do you really believe that the athletes on the Kansas City Chiefs were consumed with that? If it affected Andy Reid, it didn't affect the
people
on the field.
Well, but he was an assistant on the team.
Okay. He was an assistant outside linebackers coach. He wasn't the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. The players played that way. But by emphasizing this, which I refuse to do because of the when you talk about the 2 or 3 drinks, I refuse to use that as an excuse. Tampa Bay beat them.
No.
And
but
Andy Reid,
it's not, there's
that Andy Reid should have recused himself from the game if he couldn't handle it.
Okay, so I'm not saying you should have this conversation for the purpose of diminishing what the Patriots did.
But that's what not the Patriots, the Bucks. But that's what you're doing,
whatever.
Peter.
But last night, the idea of not addressing it.
They did address it with 4 minutes left in the game.
And to me, it felt like a real afterthought, while it's not an afterthought. I'm not saying it's a big deal because how it may have impacted the Bucks. I'm saying it's a big deal because it's a big deal.
But, Peter, put yourself in that booth if you're Nance or Romo, okay? How do you handle this? You don't know if Andy Reid's son is totally at fault. You don't know if he was drunk driving. We hear that he had 2 or 3 drinks.
You don't have to say it with...
But okay, so how are you going to articulate that?
By saying something, you know, this event happened this week. Here's the things that we know. A little girl, it's a little girl or a boy, do we know?
Little girl, 5 years old.
A little girl is in the hospital fighting for her life right now, and the person who's at the center of it is an assistant on this team and the son of the head coach. You don't have to get into any sort of moral judgment at all, except to really say this could have an impact. And between that and the whole barber thing, which was made to be a joke about COVID earlier in the week, there were a lot of things going on with this Kansas City team that you can't say help from a mental standpoint.
I'm not quite sure what people wanted Romo and Nance to do. They addressed it. It was addressed in the pregame show. Do you want them to lead the Super Bowl broadcast with that?
I didn't say that. I didn't catch the... By 4 minutes left, I might not have been dialed in as much, which I think is probably what people are complaining about, because when the game was what you were paying attention to fully, it didn't come up, and it just seems like a big story. I thought it... By the way, I don't want to heap it all on Nance and Romo. I thought the story was really quiet all last week, to be honest with you.
Because
well,
people
Friday.
Have to tiptoe around it because you don't know if Reed's son was drunk.
Well,
is he had 2 or 3 drinks, but he has not been charged with drunk driving yet. If he's charged with drunk driving, then you have more of a clear path on what to talk about.
But I do think that Andy could have been distracted.
Then he should have recused himself from the game.
What's that?
He should have recused himself from coaching the game.
I think that's kind of being Mr. Captain Literal, man.
Oh, but I'm not being Captain Literal. Was he distracted? Then he owes it to the team not to be distracted. We always talk about the best place for anybody that's going through things. I've seen it throughout my life in sports, is when you're between the lines, you compartmentalize, and you don't think about the things that are going on.
I hear that.
Well, his son coached in the game.
I didn't know. Was his son there?
I think he was there. I think he's coaching.
Well, then what are we talking about?
Well, I do think, again, I'm not making it an excuse for what happened to Kansas City, although when you do look at controversies, it might have crept in, and if that's the case, then, you know, bad job out of them for letting it happen. I'm just saying, as a father, I can empathize with what Andy Reid's probably going through, not knowing when they land in Kansas City if his son's going to, like, leave the airplane in handcuffs. You know, so I'm sure it was probably something that was on his mind and maybe could have affected him. I don't know if he should have resigned or, like, recused himself from coaching in the game. But, you know, things happen in life that I'm sure can creep into your everyday as you're trying to prepare for the game, not knowing if your son's going to get arrested or not.
Now, Rick DiPietro just told me the son was not there.
Yeah,
okay.
A couple of other people said the son was not there either.
Yeah, so, he ended up not traveling.
Again, I'm not going to sit there and say that's the reason, but you can't say that Andy Reid wasn't couldn't. Yeah, you could understand if he was distracted by it, but not to the point where he's going to, like, I can't coach in the game.
But I understand what you're saying. But when you're saying he was distracted by it, it's not something that's tangible. Was he coaching? I mean, it's like the old Derek Jeter thing. If you're playing, you're not hurt. So if he's coaching, he's coaching. We're just guessing. And if you're guessing, well, he was distracted, and then that distracted the players, and that's why they lost. No, they lost. They lost, even if he was distracted. Doesn't he have Eric Bieniemy there, too? I mean, that's what the whole staff is there for. It's an extraordinarily sad circumstance. It's terrible. And God forbid that little girl dies.
Right.
But regardless of the circumstances, though, it doesn't make the situation easier for Andy Reid. Whether the son is completely at fault or whether it was completely an accident, Andy Reid is damaged by this regardless and has to live with it regardless.
A friend of mine told me that Andy's son has been hospitalized since Friday.
Okay.
1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have to tie a couple of bows about some stories that we're talking about. So a listener just sent me something from a columnist named Therese Owens, who said that Danica Patrick introduced Aaron Rodgers to Shailene Woodley.
Oh, so there's no issue.
Oh, I think there's an issue. I think Danica is red hot because he dropped her for Shailene. Supposedly, according to his columns, made the play on Aaron Rodgers and stole him from Danica.
Also, the introduction was just, "Hey, here's a friend of mine." Or
yeah, it wasn't. This is somebody you can end up marrying and drop me for.
Oh no.
And then I was also informed the jetpack, it takes 6 months to use a jetpack and know how to use it the right way. That's why they wouldn't let Peyton do it in the recreation of Super Bowl I.
But what about me? It takes 6 months to learn how to drive a car.
Really?
Well, yeah. Well, how long do you usually have your permit? You usually get your permit at 16 and a half and then 17?
I got in the car, I knew how to drive right away.
Wow.
Didn't take me 6 months.
Obviously, Michael, you still have to go through... But just because they're like, oh, Michael knows how to drive, so let him go without a license.
You get the permit,
you drive around with your parents, and then eventually when your 17th birthday, you get a car. Although I don't understand this concept at all, that there's like a whole generation of kids that turn 17 and have no interest in driving. I can't even wrap my mind around it.
Because they care about is their, you know, the internet.
Because, Peter, I don't know how you were, but... I dreamed about turning 17 to drive. I would kill me if, like, the day after my birthday, I couldn't be driving.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal for me, too.
All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl yesterday. The Tampa Bay Bucs, 31. The Kansas City Chiefs, 9.
Wow.
So Tampa Bay wins its second Super Bowl.
Sure.
The Chiefs are stuck at 2 Super Bowls. And the victory by Tampa Bay yesterday, if you think about it, there are far-reaching ramifications. One of them is it completed one of the greatest climbs out of the basement by me of all time. Simply the
best. Hockey was simply the best when there's somebody better than you.
Better than all the rest.
True. Not true, though.
Yeah, it is. It is true. Because what it did was Peter cheated throughout his hot streak. We know that. I still do not accept the results of the voting. But all three of us, all three ended with the exact same record, 32 and 29.
Which is 32 good.
32, and which is not bad.
No, it's terrific. Do you know how many shows I listen to? Because I got satellite radio. I listen to
how
shows
many?
All over the country. They're like
how
10
many?
Games under 500, and they're still making
not
plays.
Us. We're not
three
us.
People that all ended above 500.
But here's the way it works. Here's why I want to celebrate myself, if I may, for a moment.
You always do.
Coming into conference championship weekend, I was dead in the water. I had no chance. The only way that I could get out of the basement was to go 3-0 and for Don to go 0-3 and for Peter to go 0-3. And you know what happened? Exactly that. Exactly that. So if Don would not have stood on his his high horse, he should have picked the Bucks.
Well, integrity.
And he would be in first place. And I would not be doing this.
But it would have been cheap.
Cheap.
Yeah,
you
wouldn't have lost. Four corners. That's not the way you do it.
Oh, really? I think Dean Smith won a lot of titles that way.
Not really.
But yeah, he did.
More listen, the Princeton four corners.
I thought about this and discussed it this weekend.
What do you think?
While I probably wouldn't have done what Don did, it's the integrity. The point of the segment is it's our picks. He picked the Chiefs. He believed the Chiefs would win. So he was staying true to what the segment's for. He wasn't just going for the cheap win. You know, he's not the kind of animal who would get on the air and play simply the best after not winning.
You know, I shouldn't have played that. I should play this.
But it's not true. But I am the champion.
Yeah, but you have the same record as me, number one. And number two, you clearly cheated. Somebody was giving you picks because you're not that good of a picker.
Don't know
because you had a lead that was insurmountable. Also, let's give some great love to Incarcerated Bob, who went undefeated in the playoffs. And let's give some hate to R.J. Bell, who pulled a number out of his backside for the over-under in yards for Sammy Watkins and still got it wrong.
Yeah, I think I know we shouldn't be saying this on the air, but I think part of the uniqueness of the show is that we share everything. I think Incarcerated Bob has to be our weekly.
Listen, I said it 2 years ago. I wasn't heard. So this year I started just taking Bob's picks on my own.
Right,
Bob,
as Michael just outlined moments ago.
No, that's not what I meant. I didn't start
that's
using
exactly
them
what you meant. That's what you said.
Well, but then why would I stop picking with Bob during the playoffs?
Because you had it sewn up.
But I didn't. I could have lost this weekend and lost the whole thing.
You wanted to make
this?
It look
you
good.
Want, how about
you
this
could
first
not
score?
Have dropped into last place this weekend. There's no way.
As God, as
don't,
my witness.
Don't say it.
On the sweet fur of Bear's head, those were my picks. My comeback was my comeback. I earned it. I allocated better than you. Hit the music, Anthony. I was the best this year, not you.
Wait. I think we all did. But how about this first one? So my mom calls me.
Uh-oh.
And she says, who do you like in the Super Bowl? And I said, I like the Chiefs. So she says, can you bet for me?
Wow.
So she bet $50 on the Chiefs.
Oh, no.
Now, the question is, do I collect? I don't think I collect. But she technically does owe me $50.
Oh, but I love our listeners. I love our listeners. So Sean Ryan just tweeted, I have to call Don LaGreca a fraud here. He did just that in Double Jeopardy last week and bet zero so he couldn't lose.
It's a great
So
point.
There was no integrity there, was there?
Not quite the same.
Oh, really? Going... Why? Because he's right?
Because
that's not quite it. That's
it's not the same at all.
This especially was about since picks. I had the answer wrong, so I did the right thing.
This was about picks. He wanted to be true to what
no,
his
the,
picks
the whole
were.
Idea of the whole concept. And listen, you're right. I mean, I could have done that. I could have just said because I had the feeling. I should have like my instinct told me Michael was going to go with the Bucks. So I go with the Bucks. I lock in two, and I would have won the whole thing.
That's right.
But the whole idea is to pick who you think's going to win. I didn't think so I would have won by just a strategy more than who I think is going to win. Now, it's stupid, and I admit that that's probably not the way it should have gone, but does that mean that I did the wrong, like morally, I just think I did the right thing. My problem is that I'm just too, I'm too moral. I just
well,
went by the letter
way,
of
Don.
The whole law of I just – it doesn't make me a fraud with the
You're a
Jeopardy.
Good, Don,
that's
you are
smart.
A good man. You are true to the segment. And as the champion this year, I appreciate you.
Well, that's why we decide to give our picks ahead of time, so we don't have that whole fugazi, I really think the Chiefs are going to win, but because I need to gain ground, I'm going to pick the Bucks, and then I end up winning because I ended up being wrong. You shouldn't get rewarded for being wrong.
Well, and also,
and Michael, right after that pick, he's like, he picked the Bucks. And then what did he say, Peter? Right after we made our Chief picks, he's like, I love your pick. So he picked the Bucks out of strategy more than who we thought was going to win.
No, because as I said all week, I was torn.
So then I
started to strategically think, is Don going to be that much of a dunce to pick the same thing as Peter? And I said, yeah, he will be. And
well, I
could have gone either
way.
Say
that to my face. I'm not a dunce.
That was a duncey thing to do. You
don't
lost
talk
the
to
title
me that way.
Of it.
I don't care. The fact is that we've got a show where three people from different backgrounds, different financial situations, right? Three different areas of the country. And we make picks. We all finished above 500. It's probably not a show in the country that can do that. You got people that have the audacity to make picks that are like 10 games under 500.
Who are these people you're talking about?
What?
Who are these people you're talking about?
Well, listen to DCR. Dave was like 6 games under 500 this year, still making picks.
Dave?
Yeah.
Well, that's why Dave is a recovering gambling addict. He loses house if
he continues to pick. I don't know how much he's recovering.
I think he's doing well.
I think the show's doing well. I just think, let's not infight. Let's all just celebrate the fact that we all did a pretty good job.
But I want to hang on the rim a little bit because I did the impossible.
Hang on the rim.
Simply the best.
When right inches away from you on the television screen is a guy that actually finished better.
But he didn't
better
really
than all the
better.
Rest except the guy that won?
He said he was 32-29.
This is almost like the Penn State tweet.
Yeah, you didn't win, Michael. Not only did you not win, but you're hanging on the rim for your comeback. My comeback was better. Way better.
No. First of all, you cheated.
Yes.
I didn't.
No, you're lying. You are making that up.
That's just a theory, Mike.
Every time, including last year, that I ever had a stretch where I picked well, I was getting my information from somebody else. So now you're going to have to own that nonsense.
Yeah, but your picks
were... You cheated.
Your picks were always so weird. Mine were so me. And Don, how often throughout the season did I telegraph my picks all week?
Well, and also,
I'm blatant about how
this
I pick.
I don't believe he cheated.
Thank you.
But he was picking like Washington every week.
Rick DiPietro said, that was like Andy Reid calling timeouts at the end of the first half. I thought Don loves everyone, and now he's burying poor Dave.
But ask him, wasn't he under 500? No, because I got called, I had to mention who it was, and that was one of the people that I mentioned.
Yeah, you weren't going to.
How am I throwing anybody under the bus? He makes the picks. It's on the air. This isn't ESPN from 2004 where we're talking to ourselves. We actually have an audience now. So when people, I'm not telling tales out of school. It's a very respected program that's owning 5-8.
Here's the deal. Because you finished last. At some point this year, hopefully there's a beach bash.
That's what I'm hoping for.
You are going to have to get dressed up in full Eagles regalia.
I'm fine. I'm going
to
do it.
And you're going to have to sing this song.
That was the bet. No surprise to me.
Just take the L.
I'm just going to be happy to do something outside in front of other people.
Just take the L.
Andrew, I'm taking it. I'm going to do it. But don't make a Peter situation. I am not. I'm telling you right now, I don't even know how to go about getting this costume. So somebody's going to have to figure this out.
Oh, really, Don?
Yeah.
You don't know how to buy an Eagles jersey?
No, because this will be post-pandemic, so this could be done. If you need me to pay for it, I'll pay for it. I don't think Andrew should go into his own pocket, but I think Andrew's got more of the wherewithal to find this costume than I do.
But you got to get like the mohawk, the green mohawk. Doesn't mean you have to cut your hair, but a wig. You've got to paint your face green. This
Andrew,
is a losing proposition.
Andrew, what? I need you. I need you, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Does this not sound a little messed up considering how hard a time Don specifically gave me for me not getting my own cockroaches to eat?
No, because...
Or whatever I ate?
We're in the middle of a
crickets?
Pandemic. It's just easy to have...
to get the information, have it delivered. I'm hoping when this happens, this is all going to be done. We're going to get a face painter. We're going to get a hairdresser to do the mohawk. We're going to go all out here. This is not going to be some yo-yo thing where I'm just going to throw a bunch of wings on and run around. I am going to look the part.
I believe you.
Whole show.
DiPietro just texted. He said, Andrew hears that song. He may already be in his own pocket.
No, we're going to, and it's going to be the whole show. It's going
to
be
fun. You don't understand the whole show.
Why not?
Wouldn't want you to do that. But you have to turn to both me and Peter and sing.
No.
Yeah.
How can Simply the Best be two different people? I'll sing it to Peter because he's
no, don't say it. I have the same record as Peter and I didn't cheat.
Neither did I,
well,
and you lost.
I think that you should invest.
Did I cheat last year, Peter?
Have I cheated
at any point?
I believe that you haven't.
At the time, fine.
I felt differently because all of a sudden, after being Don, how many years in a row was he awful for?
Like 9 out of 10.
So, and Don, you would say that every year I'm close to the same, right? Like I hover near 500. This wasn't some sort of aberration.
I went on a great run. Very proud
no, the run was an aberration.
Well, try to be humble.
I can't.
You can't. It's so sad.
But
even
humble
when you
for
lose.
Second.
No, that's right. Because I didn't finish last.
So you're the Rays, just lost to the Dodgers, and you're in the room pouring champagne, saying simply
yep.
the best when you finished in second.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
Pretty much,
you're Patrick
yeah.
Mahomes dousing yourself with champagne, humming simply the best as he's going to the bus to get back to the airport to fly to Kansas City,
you
finishing
know what?
In second.
He's better than the team they beat in the AFC championship game. He's better than the Bills, right? I'm better than you. I'm the best. And I have the same record as
but
a champion.
How are you the best when there's somebody that's actually
he
better than you?
He cheated.
You got to stop.
You have a filthy, disgusting amount of money.
You're,
I mean, you're
you
a millionaire.
Now,
Let's be honest. You're a millionaire.
You're paying the piper. You guys did this to me every week.
Not after you won. Andrew, go back. Not after you won. We gave you your due.
Yeah, we didn't spend the whole day after you won going cheater, cheater, cheater. You've
and I finished in second, Peter. I don't remember.
Hold on. No, of course you didn't hang on the
and also,
for
Peter,
second.
Peter, you got to announce the charity. And Michael's got to cut the $500 check. That's second place.
I'm fine with it. I love giving
charity. I would like to know the charity in which Michael's going to write the check.
Bears Grooming.
That's not a charity. And this is the idea. Don, think about this, too. Not only did we not kill Michael the day after he won with talking about a made-up cheating scandal, he's been saying this about me every week for 3 months. He won't let go. It reminds me of another time in American history that I'm not going to bring up here. But this agenda has been here for months. It's sad. So sad.
Yeah, it is eerie, Peter, isn't it?
It is eerie. You know what? You have some
nerve. Well, I just did it.
That's
what it is.
You really do. I'd like to replay the tapes. I'd like to go to the Museum of Broadcasting and replay the tapes of every week that I moved ahead of you guys by even more. You're cheating. He's getting help. Especially you, Don. Especially
yeah.
you. That's
but
why
I don't recall after you won
the fact
completely
that you
discarding
lost.
The win and then basically shoving it in Peter's face that I finished ahead of him. I finished in second last year. And I didn't play
I
simply the best and I'm the best. I didn't disgrace
one
Peter.
One point. And the fact that I was 9 points out. 9 points
but
out
you don't,
with
but,
three
but
games
again,
left
to the
is
letter of the picks. Listen, I'm a disgrace. I finished in second. I shouldn't lose to you of all people. You got to be reminded that the football is brown, okay? I'm a disgrace.
Yep.
But you won on a pick you didn't believe in.
I did believe in it.
No, you didn't.
Believed in it.
No, you didn't, because we got the audio. Great pick, Don and Peter, because you thought Kansas City was going to win. So, listen, we all finished tied. I can't allocate points to save my life, but you hanging on the rim, that's sad for you. And you know what? I'm not mad at you, okay? I feel sorry for you.
That's that.
Because if this is all you got, my man, then more power to you. Because if with the wife you have and the family you have and the job that you have and the friends that you have, this is what gets you excited, man, then I weep for you.
There you go.
Well, you know what? Weep away, because the bottom line is...
No, it's about
it's
me.
Not true. He's spinning your face for you. I've never seen a champion have to be humbled by this garbage.
Let's put it this way. Who finished first last year?
You did.
Who finished last? Peter did. That's
yes.
A one and a three. Who finished second this year?
You did.
I did.
You did.
Who finished first this year? Peter.
Peter.
So I have a first and a second. He has a first and a third. Therefore, I'm the winner.
You want to go back to like Yankee
is that
domination
how you play
the first 15
it?
Years?
No,
we
just
did
these
this?
Last 2 years is cool with me.
We can go back.
You want to go back 3 years? My hair dye. I've won two out of
the,
oh, won
the hair dye that completely changed your life.
So yep. you think the Chiefs should be celebrating because they have a first and a second over the last 2 years?
That's better
yeah,
than Tampa.
Much.
Didn't he make the playoffs the year before?
Right.
So by
exactly.
your convoluted logic, Kansas City's actually simply the best because they've
okay,
got a
good.
First and a second, and Tampa's got a first and a like 12th.
You just hate the fact. Admit it. That
no.
you finish behind me. That's the whole deal.
No, it bothers me because,
it
again,
you,
think,
because you think
that the, you think that the NFL football still has the white stripe on it. That's what bothers me. I've got to deal with that, all right?
Right.
That keeps me up at night.
It should.
But
it
also but I weep
And I
for
love
you.
The fact that the whole game was ruined for you yesterday. Ruined.
The sport. These picks have ruined it.
There,
that,
Michael,
that Capital Flyer game at noon, I was praying that the game was at 7. So I could have watched that.
You realize that, Michael, you're spending all this valuable 5 o'clock airtime
right.
convincing our listeners that you won something that you lost. And they all know you lost. Every listener knows I won.
I'm going to do it until January 6th of last year, of next year.
You're going to do it till last year?
January 6th of the 2022.
Do you realize the first 15 years of this show, Peter, I was 13-1-1. All right?
Mm-hmm. And did you ever celebrate?
One of the times he was supposed to get his back waxed. We're still waiting on that one.
You have no idea.
The other one was put on a Ranger jersey in full uniform, which basically everybody at the Garden loved. He signed autographs and took pictures the entire night. Another one of the losses was they dyed his hair, completely changed his life. The other one, he had to eat a wonderful, gorgeous Whopper that most people would like carve body parts to have in front of him right now.
Okay, Army.
These are the bets that he lost. The other one, ketchup. Ketchup's wonderful.
To you, not
you
to me.
You gotta make him eat the water.
I hope that
and you
are
what?
Miserable
I'll go to
as
my
you
grade.
Wear an Eagles
I will
jersey.
Go to my grave. I don't think you cheated last year. I think you're honorable in that sense. But I will go to my grave believing that you completely acted your way through faking vomit eating a Whopper, which is like wonderful. Like a Whopper is like almost the perfect food, and you were pretending to throw. Give him, Peter, he lost the bet and had to eat a Whopper.
No, it's better than that, Don.
You'd pay $10 right now to have a Whopper right in front of you right now, most people listening.
He's celebrating more than you probably ever celebrated a win, and he lost.
Same record as the guy who finished first.
Did
anyway,
you win?
We'll come back. I did because you cheated. And I
so,
didn't.
So hold on again. So to your logic, not true. Did not cheat. Never did. Incarcerated Bob wants to call in to settle this, by the way, he's saying. So real quick, I guess you don't believe in the hockey shootout. you just think it counts as a tie.
It should. The hockey shootout's it's a carnival act.
Well, actually, okay. Kansas City won, Peter, because Kansas City still has a better record than the Buccaneers had.
It's a great point.
Say what you want. You're the one getting dressed up as a doofus, not me. Not
First
me.
Of all, here's the thing. I'm going to make it look good, and I'm going to entertain the crowd, and I'm going to be just happy to be outside with other people.
That's
and I'm
right.
going to go – I'm telling you, I'm wearing it the whole show. I'm going to go – it's going to be amazing. Andrew's going to follow me around like a puppy dog. That's how much I'm going to look like an Eagle fan. I'm going to own it.
Let's take a break. We'll take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776.
Speedo on, too. How about that?
It's Kay. Look, why don't you do that? Really, there's kids in the room. Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
I weep for you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Happy birthday to Ray Santiago.
Yeah.
Of 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, hey, Ray. Happy birthday, pal.
Good man. Turned
Who's
45.
Been to Santiago Chile twice in 1 year?
I don't know the reference.
I don't either.
That's what I say at the end of every Ranger game, unless they lose bad. I don't want to make fun. Who's been to Santiago, Chile twice in 1 year? It's from Something About Mary. Come on, guys. Get with it.
I forget. Now, real quick, fascinating stat here from Jarve.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah, I'm done with Jarve, by the way.
I've been scoring the guys' picks for three seasons. Here are the records for each year and overall.
Why don't you start with Don first?
Don, in 18-19, was 39-41. Then he was 34-28. Very impressive. Then 32-29.
For a total?
105-98.
Now go to you.
I was 43-37.
Better than I remember.
Then 33-29. Then 32-29. I am 108-95.
What about the Kaster?
Kaster had a huge 2018-2019. 46-34. Followed by 34-28. 32-29 for an overall 112-91.
There's no denying that.
That's not.
Let's give the numbers again. 112-91 for me, 108-95 for Peter, 105-98 for Don. Yeah,
good.
Yeah,
but that's not how championships work. Unfortunately,
yeah,
you still lost this year.
It's like when the Yankees had the best record of any team in the 80s and never won a World Series.
Incarcerated Bob was perfect in the playoffs, and he's calling in.
He deserves the time.
Hi,
hey,
Bob.
Guys. How's everything? Just wanted to give props to all three of you guys. You did a hell of a job with the picks this year. People actually made money listening to you guys.
Thank you, Bob.
So that, you know, you gotta give props. You got to give props for that. Besides Bozo the Clown that you have on every Thursday, everybody made money. So that's like, you know, there's a lot of shows,
yep.
Like Don said, that, and I'm not even talking about the morning show. I'm talking about other shows, other stations mm-hmm. that are horrible.
That's right.
Lose people money.
That's right.
So you got to respect that. And on the cheating thing, let's just get this out. Let's just get this clear right now. When we first started, I would send Peter the picks, and sometimes we would agree or disagree on a pick. Maybe I made him feel confident on a few picks. Let's just put it like that. Other than that, after, I was actually sending him picks after your segments, so there was no way that he was following
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but Bob, if you helped him with one pick, then he's won illegally.
No.
He's won illegally.
No. Well, first of all, there is nothing in the bylaws of our picks that say that what he's doing, if he didn't do it, is illegal.
Then why did you think I was cheating all last year?
I never said cheating. I
yes,
said
you
were getting help. If you listen, Andrew, help me out here. I always said you're getting help. I never said cheat because you're not cheating. We were all getting information, right? Who do you think I'm printing out my own stuff? I mean, I go and I check websites and stuff. We're all getting information. There's nothing illegal about it. I just said you got help.
Now, Bob, you deserve credit here. 15-6 overall.
Yeah, that's just outstanding.
7-0.
Are you available
playoffs?
For a weekly? I'm just going to go take it upon myself. Are you available for a weekly every Thursday at 4:45?
Oh, yeah, definitely. For you guys, you know, anything, everything's on the table, right? You know, definitely owe you guys a lot of props for.
Now, this is very important.
Me.
Will you
very
be willing
good.
To do it for free?
Because that's what RJ gets.
Yeah. I don't care about the money. I'm doing fine. So, like, we could do it for free. We could do it whatever you guys want to do it. I mean, it's all good. It's all money. Also, I'm sure some of your listeners like stocks. So, you know, check out AITX.
AITX?
AITX. Artificial intelligence. Thank you, Bob. Very nice. But we're not giving out stock picks. We do not want to be responsible for people losing money. Let's go to Uzem in Rockaway. Uzem.
Hey, how you doing? It's Uzem.
I'm
not
sorry.
Uzem, but thank you very much.
Uzem.
No, it's fine. Hey, so I just wanted to point out something. Go back down to memory lane here. Michael, you said back on March 18th in the beginning of the show that Tom Brady will regret his decision on leaving the Patriots, and you even said that the Patriots were going to be better and go further than Tampa Bay this
year. Oh, wait. Didn't you bet? What was the bet between Greeny and Michael?
No, Greeny didn't think. Greeny thought. No, but by the way, I started the show by saying I was wrong, and I admit I was wrong, which is a lot more than you'd get from any other radio talk show host in this country. But I said I was wrong. I didn't think that he would do that well in Tampa Bay. But you know what? He did everything right. He did everything right, and I bow down to him. He's unbelievable.
Didn't Greeny want to take the Patriots over the field in the AFC East?
Yes, and he said if they didn't win, that he'd take us all out to Del Frisco's. And starting Friday, 25% capacity at all Manhattan restaurants.
Well, too bad Michael wouldn't do it. But Don, I would love an outdoor meal with Greeny sometime. You know,
I got to tell you, how great would that be? We'd cripple him financially too, because. It's been so long since I had a Del Frisco steak, and I get the lemon cake.
Michael, you wouldn't do an outdoor meal, would you?
After I get the vaccine, I will go into a bathroom and eat. I don't care.
Wow.
That's not true. Come on. I know you.
If they were serving
not 100%.
Food in a bathroom, I would go in the bathroom.
No.
I will take risks like you wouldn't believe.
No.
If I can get one vaccine in my arm. One.
Peter,
not even two. One.
Peter, you know. What's the best? Is it Pfizer with the, like, 94%? You don't think Michael's going to be sitting there after he gets his vaccine thinking, keeping himself up all night about that 6%?
Yeah.
No, because most of these vaccines, if you believe the literature, even if you do get it, you will not be hospitalized or die. Now, the variants that they have out now, that's a different story. Oh, I'm going to be very daring. I might even come. I might do the pop-in on you, Don. Just ring the bell and say, how you doing? I want to see the twins.
You didn't do that in the best of circumstances.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to be different now. My life is going to be different. I'm going to live it to the hilt.
I wish that was true.
Yeah, it's going to be true.
You know it, but we have an audience. It's like goldfish every 30 seconds. Right?
No. I'm going to be like, let's say next year when we're in the studio, 7 o'clock. I'll say, Peter, want to go out? Want to go get dinner?
No,
something
chance.
Like that.
At the height of daring. At the height of daring for Michael. My 39th birthday, Nancy threw me a surprise party. Thought it would be good because 40, you're expecting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Michael came to the party at my house. The only time he's been at my house.
Only time invited.
He brought part of his rotation with him.
All right. Which one? Who was it?
I don't remember, and I don't think he does either. Okay. So, big party. Stark brothers are there. Everybody.
Oh. Well, forget it.
Then it's a party.
He left early to go see a Neil Diamond cover band.
I heard this before. It was troubling.
And that's at the height of his daring. So do you think, even post-pandemic, you think he's knocking on my door for no reason?
You watch. It's all going to be, if I live through this and we have herd immunity, it's going to be different.
All right, you know what I'm going to do then? Here's the announcement.
Every night, lampshade on the head.
Here's the announcement. We're going to, Peter, peruse. Whenever the Yankees are in Texas, because Michael doesn't go there on a bet, all right? On a weekend, pool party in my house. Michael's off sometime in, like, July.
I'm there.
Love it.
Big pool party.
Hold on one sec. You guys take over the airways. I'm going to do something for a second.
Oh, wait, hold on. He's going somewhere.
You think there's any shot he goes?
No.
Zero.
He's not here. Here's the saddest part. I would love for him to change and start appreciating how great he has it and how wonderful his life is and start having a good time because he's got an amazing family, an amazing job. He's really lives a charmed life, but he's not going to get better. It's impossible.
You would think this is the time, though. This could be the turning point post-pandemic.
After I get the vaccine, I will go into a bathroom and eat. I don't care. All right, here we go. I have a lampshade. This will be the constant. There's a lampshade physically on my head right now.
Real, hold on, I'm delayed. So you're just going to watch?
I'm on DirecTV. It's the second quarter of last night's game.
This is going to be, this is what it's going to be all the time. Every night after the show, lampshade on the head. Peter, where are we going? Jacob's Pickles? Let's go to a club afterward. Watch.
I pray this is true. It would change my life.
He's the only person that like has a Shriner's lampshade.
Wait, that was the only lampshade? It's like a dunce cap.
Well, this is like I have a chandelier that has like five little bulbs and they have five little lampshades on it.
I think that's completely missing the point of what the lampshade on the head thing's supposed to be.
Well, okay, then I'll put a Shriner's hat on. I don't care. It's just that it's going to be fun beyond belief.
Michael's going to show up to my house with that little thing on his head in one of those little tiny toy cars.
I'm going to be like the guy on Friend the Fun Guy.
But if for, by the way, for our listening audience, picture the thimble from Monopoly.
Yeah.
That's what Michael has on his head.
Well, it's going to be a blast. Anyway, let's take a brief timeout. We'll come back. We'll take some phone calls. We'll have even more fun. We'll make more fun plans. 1-800-919-3776. The only time I came to his house. The only time I've been invited. In all the years we worked together, the only time I've ever been invited to his house. I was invited to his wedding and his house once.
Well, remember, we discovered recently, Don and Nancy don't even have a coffee maker, Michael. They're not preparing for company, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Come on. It was revealing.
I've had a pool party. Just it's difficult, Peter. Michael's schedule. He's shot the entire summer.
I just like knowing.
There's day games on Sunday.
Oh, really? You're going to leave the day game and go to Jersey?
Why not?
From the Bronx? You're such a liar. And just remember, if you do get invited over to Don and Nancy's, bring a Dunkin' gift card because you got the second dinner's over.
Michael doesn't drink coffee. He shouldn't care.
It's a great point.
You know what? I think I'm going to start having coffee, too. I'm going to be wired like you wouldn't believe. I'm going to start doing bad
things. Do you want the coffee maker or somebody to make a Dunkin' run? Come on. Let's be honest.
You can get some donut holes. It's a delish.
Yeah, I think I want the donut holes, too.
I hate that you're lying.
Carbs like you wouldn't believe. I'm going to balloon up to about 260 again.
Yeah, I wish this was all true. Wouldn't it be fun if during the commercial break, where'd Kaster go? Oh, he's doing a bump in the bathroom. It would be such a time.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
Such a time.
It would be like the old days of radio.
But the way things are going, I mean, I might get the vaccine in 2023. I mean, they're up to like people that are 106 years old right now.
I've heard.
1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco Rosenberg. Party's on and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.